Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. During the first part of today's show, we were exploring the ways that people can reduce the amount of water and fertilizer they use on their yards in order to reduce their environmental footprint and not contribute to the harmful algal blooms that we're seeing in local waters. But what if you live in a community that frowns upon non-traditional yards? In other words, yards that don't feature standard modern Florida gated community yards with lush, bright green grass that require fertilizer, herbicide, and plenty of water. What rights do people in communities with homeowners associations or deed-restricted communities have to choose xeriscape or Florida-friendly landscaping or plant other non-traditional landscaping around their homes? Joining me for the rest of the hour to explore this question and other aspects of life in an HOA community is Rob Caves. He's a board-certified specialist in condominium and plan development law with Becker and Polakoff. Rob, thanks for being here and sharing your expertise with us today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Do you live in a community with an HOA and would like to explore Florida's friendly landscaping techniques but aren't sure what rights you have to do so? You can join our conversation by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So how long have you worked in the world of condo and HOA law?
I've been in this practice for about 11 years, 10 years here in Fort Myers, practicing with Becker and Polakoff, exclusively representing condominium, homeowner, and cooperative associations. So that's all my practice involves.
So how much change have you seen in that time as to what comes to HOAs and landscaping and aesthetics?
You know, it's a growing issue. The statute, which is currently in place, was adopted in 2009, which specifically protects owners' rights to install Florida-friendly landscaping, or specifically says that associations cannot prohibit Florida-friendly landscaping. But there's been some version of that has been in the statute since 2001. So this is something that has definitely been an issue for a long time, and we're seeing it become more and more of an issue as owners get educated as to what Florida-friendly landscaping is and what their rights are to install it.
So what we were talking about towards the end of the last segment, we were talking about that statute and how people can do Florida. They cannot be prohibited from doing Florida-friendly, but how is that law interpreted sometimes? Because with that statute, does that mean everybody can go out and throw out a bunch of rocks and a few cacti and call it a day? Or are you constrained into certain aesthetic properties?
Well, a couple things. One, it doesn't mean anyone can go out and do whatever they want. And I think your example about a bunch of rocks and three cactuses, if you look at the materials talking about what Florida-friendly landscaping is and kind of what your guests earlier were saying, you know, it doesn't really mean rocks and cactuses. It means, you know, more appropriately placed plant material. The statute has not been interpreted by a court. So we're here today with what the statute says, what we understand, what the legislature seems to have intended. My advice to associations is be proactive because I'm looking at it from the association side. You should adopt landscaping guidelines that incorporate Florida-friendly landscaping principles. Even if you're an older community that was, you know, developed with the big green St. Augustine lawns and five palm trees, and that's what everybody has. When you're adopting guidelines on what owners can do with your yards, you should be incorporating those options as well. So when an owner comes and says, I want to put in Florida-friendly landscaping, you've been proactive and have developed guidelines that say, well, we were designed to have St. Augustine grass, but because of this statute, we will allow Bahia. We were designed with these types of bushes in our planter beds, but to comply with the statute, we'll also allow these other plant materials. So I think the best option for an association is to avoid conflict, to have put in place what you will allow consistent with the statute, as opposed to waiting for an owner to come and say, I want to do this and having not considered it before. Or worst case scenario, someone 3 weeks into their landscape remodel and never even asked for approval.
And you happen to drive by and you notice, you're like, oh, what's this guy doing?
Exactly, exactly. And if you have good guidelines, you'll avoid owners coming in and saying, I think I'm allowed to put in half an acre of white rock and, you know, four cactus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is, as we just talked about, not really what xeriscaping is.
No.
But someone could interpret it that way.
Sure. And you know, the legislature took out that term xeriscaping, even though that's what everyone thinks of when we talk about it. But it's really not that type of landscape architecture that came out of the West, because, you know, that's what that really is. Here it is, are we using plant material consistent with what the legislature apparently was intending, that's consistent with Florida the Florida environment. And you really need to work with folks like you had in the last segment or some other appropriate professional. The University of Florida Extension Office has a lot of great material, even up to the point of form document materials on what associations can adopt as to policies and procedures and guidelines on what owners can do.
So the University of Florida has, you know, like boilerplate forms
exactly.
of here's what an HOA could do to update its Florida-friendly, you know, rules on the books kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah.
What kind of – is it outdated? Are there current homeowners associations that are maybe being incorporated right now or that are they're getting off the ground right now that are still asking for St. Augustine only?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see a lot of because that's what developers think that owners want.
Oh.
Now, you do see – I think there's more industry moving towards – providing owners with more ecologically friendly both, you know, building and with landscaping. So I think we're moving towards that direction in the new home inventory. But you see a lot of developments where they still put down a lot of pallets of St. Augustine grass when they finish those homes out.
And is it true – I read somewhere that all deed-restricted communities expire after 30 years?
Well, that's a different issue. That has to do with what's called the Marketable Record Title Act. And that's Chapter 712 of the Florida statutes. And what it says is certain encumbrances on land, which a deed restriction would be, will expire after 30 years unless the person that holds the interest in that document takes action to preserve it. So a homeowners association that is getting close to being 30 years old should be working with their legal services provider to what's called preserve their documents. And the board of the association can do that before the 30-year deadline without going to the members for a vote. There's a process you have to do.
Okay. Because I was curious about that because there's some people that live in older communities that may decide, hey, I'm just going to go start keeping bees and put some chickens in my backyard and they can't do anything.
Right. Well, it depends. If they've preserved their documents, that 30-year deadline doesn't change anything.
Okay.
If they haven't preserved their documents, there could be issues. Now, you may have zoning issues on whether you can have
chickens and bees is totally different
sure.
from Florida-friendly landscaping.
Right.
But I just found it interesting that those do expire at 30 years.
Yeah, and it's something that associations really need to be aware of, particularly communities that are getting close to that. We have a lot of them that are in that age group. And if you fail to preserve your documents before the 30-year deadline, you can what's called revive them, but that's a much more involved process than preserving
arduous
them.
Arduous task,
yep.
right? So what does an HOA do or what kind of rights does a homeowners association have when it comes to a rogue yard? What kind of things do they do if you say, okay, I'm not even going to – I've asked your permission. You
right.
said no and I still want to do this.
Right.
What do they do?
Well, unfortunately, the statute lays out a process for enforcing the documents. And the first step is trying to work it out. The statute requires a homeowners association to offer that homeowner who's in violation to go to – what's called mediation to try to resolve the conflict. And mediation is where you sit down with the person that's in violation and the association and a third-party mediator, typically an independent attorney, to try to come to some settlement agreement. If you cannot resolve it in that process, the association would have the right to take that owner to circuit court and get a court order to get them to comply with the governing documents, whether that's submit for approval and put in what would be approved or remove it and put in something that would be approved. So that's really not an issue of we can say no to Florida-friendly landscaping. That's an issue of you have to go to the association and get approval if that's what's required in your documents. And unfortunately, you can end up in court with your owner if the process isn't followed and the parties cannot work it out. But the first step is to make an offer to that owner to meet and try to resolve it. And if you can't do that, then the association would, you know, have the right to take them to court. In addition to that, associations can also fine owners. And there's a process in the statute for association to impose fines. And depending on what your association documents say, those fines can accrue to $1,000. Or if allowed, they can go over $1,000 to whatever the maximum in your documents. And I've seen documents that allow $5,000 and $10,000 fines.
Like one time $5,000 or $10,000?
Well, no, it accrues over time. So if you – for this example, you've installed an unapproved yard. It's $100 a day.
Oh, man, that's
until
expensive.
The maximum is hit. So you know, it could be $1,000, which is the statutory maximum. But there's if your documents provide for something higher, it can go to, like I said, $2,500, $5,000, $10,000. And those can also become liens against your home if that's what the documents say. So there can be pretty very serious consequences for an owner who does not follow the process that's laid out in the documents. As we talked about, the association has to allow Florida-friendly landscaping, but they have the ability to regulate exactly what is installed. They also have the right to see what the proposal is going to be and approve it. And if an owner just skips all of that, even if they were allowed to do what they did, if they didn't get approval, they can be punished for it.
That's interesting. But even though you own your house, your HOA can still hold you to these rules.
Absolutely, because when you bought that house, you were told that this home is within a community that's subject to these deed of restrictions, and those are what the rules are.
How many homeowners do you encounter that are just buffaloed by that because they just felt like, I just bought a house, it's my house?
Sure, and you know, this is different. There's, you know, this type of community association living is different than what a lot of people experience up north, where they had kind of traditional Euclidean zoning where they just platted it and there's no association and you do whatever the county allows you to do. Mm-hmm. So that's very common. And usually once you educate the owner, as long as everyone's reasonable people, you can work it out.
Yeah.
Not always the case.
Oh, everybody's reasonable. I'm just kidding. But do you feel like right now homeowners associations are being a little bit more willing to embrace Florida-friendly, especially in light of the current? I mean, I know this is really current, only the last several months that things have gotten bad with the right. harmful algal blooms. And do you see homeowners associations maybe as a whole going towards Florida-friendly landscaping, even in the common areas?
Sure. I think, you know, it varies, obviously. But a lot of communities are becoming more progressive. You know, our folks that are on the boards are kind of becoming more accustomed to addressing these kind of environmental issues, whether it's on the common areas, on our lots. I think the key is planning. The key is putting together what the guidelines are going to be consistent with what the statute says regarding Florida-friendly landscaping, and that way everyone knows what the rules of the game are. But we're definitely seeing this occurring more often, boards dealing with it more frequently. So they're getting more used to dealing with these issues.
Yeah, it's coming up more and more, quite a bit. And then another question I wanted to ask is about condos. What I mean, they don't have a lawn, obviously, but there are common areas within a homeowners association. What kind of things that can people that live in condos or even people who live in individual family homes do if they want to see their homeowners association move towards a more Florida-friendly type of a thing? Are they going to be people that need to run for the board and try to make those changes, or can they petition the board to do that?
Well, I would always advise owners who are interested in seeing their community change or evolve, get involved, whether that's run for the board, whether that's volunteer for the landscape committee, whether that's volunteer for the architectural review committee. So you get on one of those entities so that you can be involved in the decision-making process. Absolutely. For condominiums, the analysis is a little different. Like you said, they don't, you know, the ownership structure is such that you own your unit, but you don't own the common areas or the landscaping because that's all part of the common elements. But again, if you want to see your condominium evolve your landscaping, become involved in the governance of your condominium. Mm-hmm. Get on the landscape committee. Run for the board, you know, volunteer, that sort of thing.
That's the way to make those changes.
Absolutely.
And what about fruit trees? We talked a little bit about fruit trees. Do homeowners associations in general just kind of frown upon those because of the risk of pests?
It varies, but absolutely. A lot of associations don't want fruit trees for those reasons, whether it's pest, whether it's just the cleanup, whether it's the nuisance from the fruit falling. So it varies. A lot of them will restrict where you can put them. They can be in the back, but not in the front, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, fruit trees would not be protected under the statute, as your guests were talking about earlier. Those are not native plants, wouldn't be, you know, necessarily consistent, or citrus fruit trees at least wouldn't be consistent with Florida-friendly landscaping.
Yeah.
So that's something that a lot of associations do regulate.
Yeah. And then another question, we kind of barely touched on it. We only have a couple minutes left. What about those bees and chickens? We heard a lot about the backyard chickens, and there are a lot of different people that are kind of more interested in beekeeping and things like
sure.
that. Is there one HOA in the world that allows that?
I am not aware of any homeowners association that I'm involved with that allows chickens. I mean, typically, most deed of restrictions have specific prohibitions on, you know, any type of agricultural animals, including poultry, usually poultry by specific reference. So I'm not aware of any association other than maybe there's a few kind of niche equestrian associations
that might make it
that are different because, I mean, those are big lots, you know, 3-5 acre parcels, that sort of thing. But what we think of as a homeowner association, no. Now, I'll be completely frank. I have never dealt with the bee issue. Mm-hmm. And I'm not aware of specific prohibitions on bees by reference. I can imagine that bees could potentially create a nuisance and have other issues. So that's something if you are in a homeowners association and you're interested in it, you should talk to your association before you go out and order 10,000 bees.
Yeah, that would be a shame. That would be a shame. All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for today's show, but I really want to thank my guest, Rob Caves. He's a board-certified specialist in condominium and plan development law with Becker and Polyakov. Rob, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And thanks to my earlier guests during our segment about xeriscaping or Florida-friendly landscaping, Thomas Becker from the UF IFAS office in Port Charlotte and Marlene Rodak from the Cocoloba chapter of the Florida Native Plant Society. Join us tomorrow on Gulf Coast Live when we try to answer the many questions we've received from listeners already about what's causing our current water woes, from how we got here to possible ways forward. Our show today was produced by Mike Kniry and myself. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.